Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Calamity Jane might be an icon of the American West, but she lived life as a pioneer and a woman, not as a myth. Mary Jane Bradbury invites audiences to learn about the real Martha Canary by portraying prominent Deadwood Madame Dora Dufresne. Bradbury joins us now to tell us the story of two friends at a frontier in time for women. Mary Jane Bradbury from Deadwood, welcome to In the Moment.
Good morning. Thank you. I'm thrilled to be joining you this morning.
It seems like there are multiple layers of this story that we could dig into, and I want to start with your background and how you were sort of drawn into these stories of Dora. Am I saying it right? Dora Dufresne?
Dora Dufresne,
yeah. And Calamity Jane. Tell me when you first met them and started learning.
Well, I've been doing portrayals of women in history for a number of years, many years, actually. I have a background in acting and history and education. And so it all kind of came together in the portraying the lives of these women in a first-person way. And then about a year ago, specifically for Dora and Calamity, I was asked if I'd ever considered the Calamity Jane story. And quite honestly, to portray her authentically would probably be a little bit of a rough portrayal because of the kind of person she was. But one thing I've learned is that if you take the viewpoint of a friend or a family member or someone who can have all the information that first person portrayal might not be able to tell about themselves, it gives it a rich depth. And Dora had written a little pamphlet about Calamity later in her life. Her remembrances were pretty spotty in terms of accuracy based on what scholars know today. But the energy of who Dora was, and she was a very successful woman in, as she says, the one enterprise that there was no discrimination against women who had ambition.
So let's put that into context a little bit. Let's talk about women and ambition in this particular period of time. What are they up against?
Well, so the late 19th century, turn of the 20th century, women have been working for the right to vote, and four Western states have given women the right to vote in federal elections. But they're just, the movement is growing, but that pivotal one reform about being considered a citizen and having the rights of a citizen and being able to vote means you can begin to influence legislation, if you can begin to influence the laws that are being made. The laws, either actual or social, they needed to be changed. People needed to see women differently, but it was a struggle because for so many centuries, women were thought to be less than. So as they became aware of their power and they wanted to vote, they wanted to be part of business pursuits, they wanted to make choices, those were not readily acceptable in many different areas of our society. So that was what they were fighting against. And quite frankly, in the West, it was a little easier.
Right.
Think of the family that comes west in the covered wagon, and the man dies. Well, now this woman has to make her way. Well, people helped her, and she proved herself. And so men in the West saw women as more capable than probably some of the other parts of the country, just because of what they were required to do to survive.
Right. The latitude that they had, not as many restrictions then out there mm-hmm. when there's work to be done.
Exactly.
All right.
It needs to be done.
Let's talk about Dora Dufresne a little bit. And what's her background? How successful is she? And how does she sort of come to know Calamity?
Well, Dora, the history on these women is really difficult. They weren't called shady ladies for nothing. It was and is difficult to follow their trail. The best I could come up with for Dora was that she, as a young girl, I don't know what caused her. Was her family life awful or what caused her to branch out on her own? But as a young teenager, she was on her own, and as she said, the one opportunity, the one business that was available to women without skills, without family to support them, without a husband, was this prostitution. And so she worked, I guess, as a working girl for a while, didn't like that, but she had a business sense. And the madams of the Old West, they had a good business sense, a disregard for decent morality and a willingness to contend with the town governments, you know, the payoffs and the taxes and the fines. And so this arena was where women who had that kind of ambition were able to step out and run their own businesses. In the West, and this is something, you know, we kind of, you know, cringe or look askance or roll our eyes or whatever when this idea of prostitution comes up. Today, by our standards, but in those days, the red light district, the gamblers, the saloon owners, everyone was side by side. There was no sort of separating people out. They lived and worked in communities all together. So this sort of business was something that Dora could imagine herself running. She had a number of houses in the Black Hills, Deadwood and Lead. Belfouche was one of her most thriving businesses later on around the turn of the 20th century. Diddling Doras, drinking, dining, and dancing.
Oh my!
So, yeah.
Where do the women come from? Where do the prostitutes come from? Are they trafficked in? Are they girls who have already come west?
Well, a little of both. Again, women without anyone to take care of them. That was right. The thing. You had a family, you had a father, brothers, then you got married. And so if you didn't quite fit that scenario, then you were on your own. And if you didn't have any education or skills, you were even more on your own. So women came west on their own, maybe looking for a better place to be, didn't want to be a farm wife, didn't want to work in a factory. They came west with high hopes about what might be available to them. There were a lot of forays made to larger cities, and I guess Calamity was one of the people who went out and recruited for some of the brothels in the Deadwood area. Hmm. Made it sound really great, and of course, you could do that, and then they get here and find out it's quite different. But right. Then there's nowhere else to go. We don't have money. It was, in those days, Laura, there was sort of a contract between virtue and vice. Everybody knew what was respectable. But prostitution was expected and condoned and appreciated, not the least by the towns because of the cash flow. It was an economic necessity in some of those towns for the cash flow that it provided. And there were, 10, 20, 50, 100 men for every woman? And here's an interesting quote. A woman in Livingston, Montana, when the red light district was being threatened to be closed down, she said she hated to see it go because the girls weren't hurting anything, and she felt safer in the streets because the men had somewhere to go and wouldn't take out their aggression on the innocent women of the town.
Interesting.
So it filled a role all the way around.
If you're just tuning in, my guest is Mary Jane Bradbury, and Deadwood History Incorporated and the Deadwood Historic Preservation Commission are going to host a presentation by her, and it's Thursday, April 27th at the Homestake Adams Research and Cultural Center at noon Mountain Time, talking about Dora Dufran here and Calamity Jane. So let's talk about Calamity now. Sure. And we've heard that she did a little recruiting for the brothels. How different is the myth of how we consider Calamity Jane from the reality of who she was and what she was facing at the time that she lived?
Wow. Well, It's a complex story, and because she didn't know how to read or write, so she never left anything of her own. And in the Western towns, the myth, the character, the rumors, all the stuff that gets created around a story like this, it was tough. I thought I was on a fool's errand to try and figure out how to sort through it. There's some good scholars today. Dick Edelaine has written a comprehensive biography, and prior to that, James McLaird. And those two, I mean, they went to every town, they looked at every newspaper, and everywhere she went, they were able to track sort of a flow of her travels. She came from a wretched beginning, a wretched home life. Her mother was a prostitute, her father was a gambler. And by the time she was 11 years old and they were in the Western mining camps, both of those parents were dead, and she had a little brother and sister to figure out what to do with. She found homes for them, and then off she went. So think of the Union Pacific Railroad coming across Wyoming in those days, and that sort of rolling contingent of the other side, the underworld, if you will, that sort of followed all those camps. That's where she learned how to survive. She showed up at forts. She showed up on the wagon trains. Families tried to take her in, perhaps. There's all sorts of stories. But she made her own way and learned all the things we attribute to her: riding and shooting. She could drive animals. She followed the freight train. She was a good driver. She could swear. She could drink. All of those things. And by the time she came to Deadwood, she was about 20 years old. She had made a sort of a reputation for herself as a wild Western woman. There were no women in the West like her. There were the fallen women. You couldn't fall much farther than Deadwood. But there were also, she had a strength. She had a personality. If there had been other advantages for her, if she'd been nurtured at all in anything else, she would have probably been a remarkable individual. But she only had this one default, and that was to make her way in the camps in the most rowdy and profane way that she could find.
And this keeps her from being one of the brothel girls as well, doesn't it? When you talk,
well, she actually worked in the brothels.
She did.
The road ranches. Well, again, think of a young girl out in the boonies, and there's road ranches. They called them hog ranches at the time, and they were often near military forts. And this was the lowest of the low. They said an old prostitute would first go to the dogs, and then they'd go to the soldiers. And that's who was working in these places, and that's where she'd land, because she was hungry. She was on her own. She needed a place to work. So she had a good sense of the business from all sides. She opened laundry. She opened restaurants. She opened saloons. But because she was her own best customer, those were never successful.
Right.
So she took up with men from time to time who did not treat her well. It was just really sort of a never-ending cycle for her in all sorts of ways of people who didn't have any advantage.
So what insight, putting together your presentation and thinking this is what Dora sees in Calamity, let's just close with what sort of insight do you think you came to as an actress and as a, someone who does historical representations, that just looking at Calamity Jane through Dora Dufresne's eyes meant for you?
Oh, thank you for asking that. That's the greatest question, because that's what it's all about. Mm-hmm. How do we find the humanity? How do we find these human beings who have all sorts of things said about them and all sorts of judgments made about how they lived their lives? But they were human beings, and they felt things, and they thought things, and they believed. And so reading between the lines and finding little quotes, you can find the human being in both of them. Dora, certainly. I mean, she was successful. She was married most of her life to a man she loved very much. They were business partners. This was a business for her. And she saw Calamity as someone who was treated poorly by the press and by the towns. And I think finding that humanity is my goal, and then letting people who don't really know much more than the myths and all the things that have been passed down in the media and the books and the TV and movies, finding the humanity and not just the frivolous story. That's really the journey that first-person portrayers are on.
Hmm. And you can see Mary Jane Bradbury as she portrays Dora Dufresne, the famous Deadwood madam and friend of Calamity Jane. That's Thursday, April 27th at noon at the Homestake Adams Research and Cultural Center in Deadwood. Mary Jane Bradbury, thank you so much for your time. We really appreciate it.
Oh, it was great. Thank you.